Hi, everybody. My name is Jody Anthony. I'm here with the Altarum Institute and on behalf of my two other co-presenters, Giovanni Spinner and Yusra Shower. I thank you for coming today and listening to our presentation. I have no relationships to disclose. And before I begin, I just want to give recognition and thanks to our National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute team, our Altarum team, but most importantly, our strategic champions, the community health workers, and their community partners. And importantly, today's presentation is just sort of one aspect and really a presentation of our cross-site findings, but we're actually going to have the community health workers participating in a presentation tomorrow. And I really encourage you to go because their perspective is different than mine and very important to hear. Okay, so the vision of the initiative, this is an initiative of the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute, and it's really to empower community health workers as part of NHLBI's mission, which is to provide global leadership for a research, training, and education programs to promote the prevention and treatment of heart, lung, and blood diseases and enhance the health of all individuals so that they can live longer and more fulfilling lives. That's the last time I'll read something. At the core of the initiative are manuals, health education manuals that have been adapted for four different populations, and they're supplemental materials of picture cards, recipe books, photonovelas. And the manuals themselves are 12 sessions. The idea is that this is a 10 to 12 session series of classes. Each class is about approximately 2 hours. Each session covers a different aspect of how to be heart healthy. And there's a special session on evaluation. So NHLBI had developed these materials really with the intent of translating the science, the best science, into communities. And they realized that community health workers were a key partner in this translation. They also realized that 12 sessions is quite long, and that they really wanted to start thinking creatively and innovatively about, like, how does this actually happen in a community in a way that's sustainable and effective. So they funded through, Altarum Institute is contracted through NHLBI, and these were our subcontracts. We had 9 subcontractors, which we called strategic champions. And these were their 5 core strategies. The two that were in particularly very important was building the capacity of the CHWs to implement the initiative, and for then those CHWs to use the curriculum or a modified curriculum in the community with community members. And throughout the process, there was evaluation, monitoring, and technical assistance. These 9 strategic champions had 16 months to implement their program, and each one was funded for approximately $100,000. And these are our awesome 9 strategic champions, some of whom are represented in this room today. Joanne Central Massahack over there in the far right corner. I don't think there's any. and so we also have, from all the way across the country, we also have some people here from Visión y Compromiso. So let me just sort of broadly talk about some of the key features of the Strategic Champions program. Then what I'll do is present to you some of the evaluation findings, both quantitative and qualitative. So what was really important about the projects is that they were diverse in the populations they serve, the organizational types and implementation strategies, that partnership building was absolutely central to the work that they did, we didn't want to sort of after 16 months sort of show up and say, where's the report? But there was this sort of continuous opportunity for assessment and reassessment for the champions to learn from one another and for monthly monitoring calls, quarterly evaluation calls. And the strategic champions who are in the room are saying, yes, we were very, we had lots of calls. And to really focus on learning across sites. So these are just a few examples of the CHW capacity building approaches. There were creations of state community health worker networks. There was training for community health workers that was both in person and virtual. There was also a number of champions who created voiceover, which is, you know, speaking over a PowerPoint and then putting that online so anybody can access it either as their primary mode of training or to go back to it afterwards as sort of a resource. And an important aspect is that almost all, I'd say actually 8 out of 9 of the strategic champions added a core competency component. So it wasn't just training on the NHLBI curriculum, but it was really about helping community health workers be able to use this in the community and what that really took. So in total, approximately 650 CHWs were trained over the project period. Here are some examples of community education. So as I said, the initial NHLBI manual was a group in-person 10-session. People realized different strategic champions felt that there were different modalities that made more sense in their community, and very often community health workers, it was up really to the community health worker to think about what made most sense for her community or her clients. So there were small learning circles. There, some people decided to use the curriculum at home through one-on-one home visits. There are also a number of modifications. So there was a combined cross-population manual for African American and Latino populations developed by Central Mass AHEC. Navajo Nation Partners in Health developed specific Navajo. They had taken the American Indian, Alaska Native curriculum and really created something that was appropriate for the community health representatives to use in their settings and typically at home or, you know, through home visits. And in total, about 12,500 community members were reached. So we had a number of evaluation questions, but the three that I'm really going to focus on now are: how did CHWs change their knowledge, awareness, commitment, and ability to address heart health? And how the community members changed their knowledge, attitudes, and behaviors, and factors that supported or inhibited implementation. So as part of the cross-site evaluation, we were somewhat limited in terms of the quantitative surveys that we had. They were what already existed in the NHLBI manuals. We didn't go through a new OMB process. So some of these surveys worked well, some didn't. There was a pre and post test for CHWs, a community participant pre and post test, and a CHW 30-day and 3-month follow-up. As importantly, each champion did additional qualitative evaluation and qualitative data collection. Many did focus groups with CHWs, community participants, and CHW supervisors, or key informant interviews, or both. So as I said, a few of the limitations is that we did use existing data collection tools, which limited in somewhat, and we'll get into it, what we were able to see. We had an incredibly low response rate on the 30-day and 3-month for the community health workers, to the point where I'm not actually going to report that data. We didn't have any control groups. And another important aspect is that we had hoped to be able to quantitatively analyze how outcomes differed by distinct modalities. But what we realized is that each strategic champion had their own modality, and then within each champion, there were distinct modalities that each community health worker used. So to be able to sort of categorize them into sort of, you know, overall types of CHW or community education approaches really, really didn't fit. However, we have great qualitative data on that aspect. Okay, so this is just a little bit of background about the community health workers' characteristics. They vary pretty evenly over age, predominantly female. Almost half were Hispanic, Latino, but we also had 29% American Indian, and 13% Black or African American, and you can see the rest. Most of the community health workers had worked as CHWs before. There was actually only one of the 9 strategic champions who recruited CHWs from, it was the Columbia Housing Authority in South Carolina. They were public housing residents who didn't have any background in as a community health worker, so they're primarily represented in that initial one. But everybody else worked with community health workers who did have some experience. So what we saw for knowledge change is that actually across all of the 4 knowledge categories, there were significant improvements in knowledge. Obviously what sort of jumps out at you here is around serving sizes. And while it was significantly improved, there was still a lot of room for improved knowledge on that one. We also saw that CHWs felt more confident in using the NHLBI manual from pre to post test. And then on the community participant side of things, we saw that that knowledge changed from pre to post on all of the categories that we're focused on, from signs of stroke to smoking risk to weight loss methods. Confidence increased across the 4 categories that we looked at in terms of cooking heart-healthy foods, making healthier choices, recognizing signs of heart attack, and ability to get your blood pressure checked. And we saw improved behavior change among community members as well, and this slide shows the number of days of exercise per week reported. And as you see, pre there was much more 0, 1, and 2 days, and post there was quite a lot more on the 3-plus days. And other behaviors that we looked at, there's another series of questions around behavior, and there were significant improvements in all of these as well. So, as I said, an important aspect was the qualitative work that the strategic champions did, and so the rest of my presentation is really going to focus on what the strategic champions reported back to us that they had learned through their focus groups and key informant interviews. So here are some lessons around community health worker recruitment and retention. It sort of sounds sort of blasé or sort of like of course, but partnerships were essential. And we saw that, again and again and again. And everyone talks about how important partnerships are, but partnerships really are essential because especially with 16 months, the strategic champions who didn't have strong partnerships already could not just jump in and start implementing a program. They really needed to be able to hit the ground running, and having strong partnerships in the community was essential. It was also really important with your partners to understand explicitly what roles and responsibilities were. It wasn't enough to just work with a community health worker. Most strategic champions also felt working with the community health worker supervisors was really essential in achieving buy-in. We could have an entire 5 days on the issues around stipends or compensation for CHW, so I'm not going to get into that. But I will say that they were used almost every CHW, they receive some sort of stipend or compensation, not just for the training that they receive, but for them to be able to implement in the community. And many of the champions also gave money to the community-based organizations with whom they were partnering as well. Some of the things that they learned through CHW training is that the training had to be responsive to the needs of the CHWs. So So many of our CHWs hadn't had any experience doing group education classes, and it was an area that they had that they felt very uncomfortable with. So even just learning group facilitation skills, presentation skills was really important. Some CHWs really just even wanted, you know, support in IT or professional communication. And I think what's really important here is just saying that the strategic champions, those that all of the strategic champions went to the CHWs and really tried to figure out what it is that they really needed to feel confident and comfortable being able to implement in the community. Initially, the NHLBI training, as they say, it's supposed to be around 2.5 days. That wasn't sufficient, really, for any of the strategic champions, particularly because they were including core competencies, and they needed time for practicing. Many of the strategic champions took their CHWs to a senior center or a WIC clinic, and they really practiced what they were learning and got feedback, and that was really important. Small group trainings, active participation, learning. And then a few noted that a training cohort with a mix of CHWs with different skill sets was very beneficial. So that was just the training aspect, but then there's this all, you know, you have your training, you have your 2.5, 3-day, 5-day training, but that's just a small part of it. It's sort of what happens afterwards that really helps CHWs use the curriculum in the community. And what the CHWs really reported, what the strategic champions reported, is that ongoing practical support was essential. Many of the strategic champions had, you know, every 2 weeks they had meetings, or every month they had their meetings with community health workers. They had booster trainings, peer-to-peer sharing. All of this was really deemed as very important. Some of the strategic champions used individualized support plans, where the CHW developed their plan of action, and then there was a document that people could really use to sort of focus their technical assistance and their support and help the CHW problem solve around implementation. And I've said this enough already, but that for the CHWs to really own this was by far the most important thing that we learned from this, is that they needed to feel that the curriculum was relevant to them and the people that they were working with. And so to be able to adapt it was essential. 3 minutes, okay. And then also, and Vision is an example of this, but all of them did this, is that opportunities for CHW leadership, so sort of going even beyond that booster training and peer-to-peer learning circles and all of that stuff, but actually having CHWs as advisory board members. So they were the ones who directed what happened with the program. Okay, community education. Classes bigger than 15 people are hard to manage. You need to be realistic about how much time it takes for community health workers to do meaningful outreach and education and support. That some champions even provided stipends to community participants. And some of the most important connections happened outside of the classroom. And I think this is just an important point that I forgot to say earlier, is that, yes, it's, you know, there was this curriculum, but most of the strategic champions CHWs did stuff far beyond this curriculum. They went with their clients, the community members, to doctor's offices. They did walkability in their communities. They went to local grocery stores and looked at what was available. So this was sort of like maybe the initial step to be able to then do some other stuff in the community that was deemed essential by both the participants and the CHWs. And my last slide, for the evaluation. All but one champion, and they were probably just too polite, reported challenges in using the evaluation forms. And when I mean the quantitative evaluation forms, they were quite long. There was a lot of questions in them. And CHWs haven't had, sort of the way the process worked, is CHWs were to use these evaluation forms in the community with community members. And we really didn't provide a lot of support and thinking beforehand about what that really would take to do. And so there was actually a ton of challenges with that. And so a number of champions tried to own it again and tried to help the CHWs and CHRs own it. So for, like, Navajo Nation simplified their they worked with their CHRs to make the evaluation form something that was useful to them. So we could cut down the evaluation form, we just couldn't expand it. and I think everybody did some of that. And again, using the qualitative information. And just an important piece is this sort of ongoing technical assistance for evaluation to the strategic champions is one point, but for the CHWs themselves and helping them feel like they're the reason why they're reporting this data actually matters. And so a number of strategic champions constantly collected the data and then reported it back during the CHW learning circles. So they had a sense of what they were learning through their data and why it was important. So if you have any additional questions, you want to learn about partnership opportunities or want to be added to the listserv, there's an email there. And I think that there's also like a handout that I included with this presentation. So thank you.